Hello, this is Shane Claiborne and Tony Campolo. The name of the show is Across the Pond, and that's because we're recording over here on the other side of the Atlantic. We're on the east coast of the United States, right outside of Philadelphia, recording the show. And what we talk about every week is red letter Christianity. And by that, we're remembering those old Bibles that have the words of Jesus highlighted in red, and we're asking the question, what if Jesus meant the stuff he said? What if we saw our faith not just as a ticket into heaven, but we saw it as a reason to engage the world that we live in and to seek the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? So thanks for joining us. And we love having guests who embody so many of the things that we value and that we see in the Gospels. And we've got a great guest this week that actually bridges the pond from here to there. And Tony's going to introduce our guest today.
It's Joy Carol Wallace. She is a Anglican priest. She was ordained in the United Kingdom into the priesthood, and she was ordained like almost 25 years ago. It was in 2019 that women were being ordained into the Anglican priesthood.
This will be the 25th anniversary.
25th anniversary, yeah, and it's coming up. And do you want to tell us a little bit about what that was like?
Hi, Tony. Hi, Shane. Thanks for having me on your show. It doesn't seem that it was 25 years ago. That's amazing to me, and I'm looking forward to celebrating and finding ways to celebrate on this side of the pond. I know there are going to be some celebration on that side, too. It was a historic moment. I was lucky enough to be on the General Synod of the Church of England, and so I had been elected to represent my diocese. I was only 29 years old. I was the youngest member of the General Synod at the time, and I got to have a vote. I got to listen to all the debate all day long, and I got to make my vote and be there at that agonizing moment when nobody was quite sure whether the motion had passed or failed. And it only just passed. It had to have two-thirds majority in the House of Bishops, the House of Clergy, and the House of Laity. And it passed easily in the House of Bishops and Clergy. And people are often surprised to learn that it was in the House of Laity that it only passed by one vote.
Oh.
It got the two-thirds majority by one vote. And so it was just agonizing, waiting for the declaration from the Archbishop that it had passed.
How did that take place? How did you get the news? How did they announce this to you?
Well, we're in this circular chamber at Church House, Westminster, and to actually make our votes, we had to stand up and physically walk through doors that were marked eyes and nose, and yeses and noes, and we were counted as we walked through the doors as representatives and members of the synod, and then the calculations were made, and we all came back in, having been in this big corridor with folks who had voted, differently from each other.
That's drama.
The Archbishop made the announcement and said, he said the numbers, and that didn't really mean anything to us because it was so close. And then he said, the motion has passed. And he said, I want you to greet the results with a dignified silence.
Whoa.
And that
was British.
Hard for all of
British.
Us women who just wanted to hoop and holler and shout hooray,
Wow.
Here in the United States, when women were ordained into the Episcopal Church, that's the name of the Anglican Church here in the United States, the Episcopal Church, there was great upset. Actually, before anything happened in the United Kingdom,
this is one of the places where we were ahead of the UK on this one, right?
In a church in North Philadelphia, an African-American
Church of the Advocate,
The first women in the United States were ordained to the priesthood. And when that happened, there was a split in the church. Is that true in the United Kingdom, where there are certain church people who said
this was, I think, 1974.
Whoa!
So this when the first Episcopal, mm-hmm. and it wasn't just one woman, but it was 11, I believe, that yeah. were ordained together. So, but I'm sure it had huge ripples of.
Well, it split the Episcopal Church here, and there is now a separate Episcopal Church that still holds to the fact that only men can be priests, because the attitude is that the priest stands for Jesus. And since Jesus was a man, only a man could stand for Jesus.
Well, that's very similar to Catholic. You know, some folks say that the Episcopals are Catholic light.
They say so, the Episcopalians or the Anglicans are Catholics who don't know how to read and write Latin. That's the word. But
when you look at all this, though, Joy, like, so, I mean, you know, 25 years for the Anglican Church, longer than that for the Episcopal Church. But are you encouraged? Are you discouraged? I mean, we've got this movement of the Me Too and Church Too, and it seems like we've got a long way to go, but we've also come a long way.
We have, and I think that the encouraging thing that I see from the Church of England is that, you know, whilst they worked very hard to maintain unity, so they had another motion that came through the Synod shortly afterwards, which was called the Act of Synod, which prevented that kind of split. And it said that those who were opposed to the ordination of women could, you know, have their own special bishops that would take care of them. And or if they wanted to leave the church, they would be fairly compensated so they could start a new career. And various other provisions that were made for those who were opposed to the ordination of women
came
in the form of the Act of Synod. And interestingly enough, I mean, I do believe in unity and moving forward together as a family, but I did speak against that Act of Synod. Because I felt that it lacked theological integrity, because, you know, basically what it meant was that you were setting aside bishops who had not ordained a woman and so were keeping the line of succession pure. And so, you know, people who felt that women were sort of tainting the apostolic succession, the line of apostolic succession, could choose to have one of these special bishops that would rove around the country. They were called flying bishops.
I heard that. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of this goes contrary to that teaching of the Apostle Paul that in Christ, in Romans, rather in Galatians, it reads like this: in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, all are one in Christ Jesus. Jesus established the status of every Christian as being a priest, and there are ordained priests in the Anglican Church, but all of us, in a sense, are priests of God, sent forth into the world to communicate Jesus to those that we know. You also have this distinction. Not only is the 25th anniversary of the ordination of women coming up in 2019, but in 2019, a BBC TV series that became very popular, not only in the United Kingdom, but over here on the other side of the pond, The Vicar of Dibley. Remember that show? It was a very, very engaging, humorous, and thoughtful show, The Vicar of Dibley. It was about this Anglican priest, this woman who was serving this church in a derelict section of London, and how she served and the wonderful things that happened to her. Could you tell us a little bit about that show? Because you, Joy Carol Wallace, was the model after which The Vicar of Dibley was formed. As a matter of fact, the woman who played the role came to your wedding and was there to cheer you on. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, Dawn French. She's a very lovely and well-known actress over there in England. And Richard Curtis actually wrote The Vicar of Dibley. He wrote Four Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill, Love Actually. You know, he's Mr. Comedy in Britain. And he was in the public gallery when I was making one of my speeches against the Act of Synod, actually. And he was he had written one episode of this show about a woman priest who shows up in a country village, actually. That was his story, different from my experience, which was urban. And he realized that he didn't know anything about women priests, and he couldn't get further than writing one episode. So he contacted me and asked me if I would be willing to talk with him and let Dawn shadow me as she developed the character. And it was the start of a really fun and interesting journey in the midst of ministry, and ended up being a fabulous way to communicate about what it meant to follow Jesus, really. Very unusual way for a priest to be able to sort of step into popular culture in that way. It was fun.
Beautiful thing. But you're not only a priest in the Church of England, but you're also this model for a television series, but you're a mother. You have two absolutely wonderful sons. Could you tell us a little bit about motherhood and the vocational cycles you have gone through?
Well, you know, my transition to the United States was interesting. I married to Jim Wallace, who's American, which is why I'm here.
And a very famous American at that.
He was in England at the Greenbelt Festival where we met. And we got married, and I moved over to America after 2 years of transatlantic courtship. And almost immediately, we had our first son, and then 5 years later, our second son. And so my journey has been an interesting one out of the church in terms of being employed by the church or being the pastor of a church. But really, and I was thrust into the community, and the community worlds of baseball and school, and I moved from being the vicar of Dibley to a baseball mom, and yet I think it's true to say that I was able to maintain my ministerial role in all of those places. And so I discovered that you can be a follower of Jesus and somebody who responds to his call to ministry wherever you are. You don't have to have a collar around your neck or be standing in a pulpit. Mm. We can be used by God. Like you said earlier, Tony, it's everybody that's called to this kind of general broad priesthood where we're the hands and feet of Jesus in the world.
Wow. We'll just pause for a second to recognize the folks that are listening in. And if you just joined us, our guest today is Joy Carol Wallace, incredible woman that's done all sorts of stuff we're talking about. And this is Shane Claiborne and Tony Campolo. The name of our show is Across the Pond. And we love having guests. We love talking about the way of Jesus in the world today, what it looks like to follow Jesus in the world that we live in. So thanks for joining us. And we want to jump back in.
Just one more thing.
Yeah.
We are propagating on the show every week, Red Letter Christianity. Go to the website, redletterchristians.org. But I have to say at this particular point, it was Jim Wallace who got this whole thing going. You remember when Jim called about 20 of us together in Washington, D.C. and said, the word evangelical has all kinds of ugly connotations these days. When you say you're an evangelical, people assume you're anti-women, you're anti-gay, you don't believe in global warming, you're pro-war. And we said, wait a minute, that's not who we are. And it was Jim Wallace and his associate who came up with the name Red Letter Christians. And that's where we got our name. So she's related to us in that respect.
Yeah. So back to you, Joy, too, with this, as we're talking about bridging the pond, our shows Across the Pond. Another way that you've bridged the UK and the US are with these festivals that connect spirituality and justice. And now I heard that Greenbelt, which you helped co-found, or you helped co-found the U.S. version of that, the Wild Goose Festival. Greenbelt is the largest Anglican communion in the world. Is that right?
Greenbelt is not part of the Anglican Communion. It's an independent festival.
But what I was told is that it was, as far as gathering for communion, it was one of the largest gatherings. It's thousands of folks that meet, certainly not all Anglican, but it's certainly one of the biggest communions that I've been to.
And it was started by the Anglicans.
Right, right.
Oh, I see. Yeah. In fact, I remember back in the day when I was living in England, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams at the time, and I celebrated Holy Communion on Sunday morning at Greenbelt in the middle of this huge field full of thousands and thousands of people.
So beautiful.
And it was an amazing experience.
And I'm sure some of our listeners have been there, and others maybe haven't heard of Greenbelt, but it's a beautiful place to explore Jesus and justice.
Yes.
But you helped found a U.S. expression of that, which is called the Wild Goose Festival. So tell us about that, because, you know, here we are, not quite a decade into that, but Tony and I have both been a bunch of times, and you're really helping shape that.
Yeah, I was one of the founding board members of that. Now I chair the board, and it's such a privilege, and it's so exciting because it's our main philosophy is, it's spiritually based, it's faith based, it's Jesus based, and one of the early things we had on our website was that it's because we are followers of Jesus. We are followers of Jesus, and therefore we welcome everybody. You know, people often associate church and Christianity with people who are exclusive and narrow, and we wanted to turn that around and say no, because we're followers of Jesus, and therefore we're inclusive and open and welcoming, and we wanted to display something different. And Greenbelt, just like the Wild Goose, which we have founded very much, you know, like Greenbelt, is often the place where people first encounter spirituality that's attractive to them, or a faith that interests them and seems genuine and authentic.
And also
but
places...
it's also the place where people often, you know, is their last stop if they're on the way out of the church.
Yeah.
They've been wounded or disillusioned. And so we have this very interesting mix of artists and musicians and poets and just ordinary people of all ages, adults and children and older people. And everybody's in this mix together, you know, in a place where they feel safe.
Yeah, and when you say safe, if you go to Greenbelt or if you go to Wild Goose Festival, these two wonderful festivals, people who often feel rejected by the church are welcomed and have an opportunity to express themselves and to feel safe, as you say. Gay people, lesbians, transgendered people. I mean, they all are welcome. Whosoever will may come. Jesus didn't exclude anybody. The prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinners, all the people that the religious establishment rejected, Jesus received and they loved him. And that happens at Greenbelt, and it happens also at Wild Goose Festival.
Yeah, I want to ask you about this a little bit, Joy. Like, in one of the early years, I took some of the young guys in my neighborhood, and a bunch of us, a crew, came down from Philly to the Wild Goose Festival. And for different reasons, things didn't exactly connect with some of the guys that grew up in my neighborhood. And part of what I began to identify is that I think there was this collision between deconstructing the kind of Christianity that excluded so many people and reconstructing a new expression of that in a church community. And it's almost like some of the circles that we've been in can feel like they're therapy groups for ex-evangelicals or post-evangelicals or something. And we're deconstructing things that some people never constructed. Like the young guys in my neighborhood didn't grow up with flannel graph and going to Sunday school. Like they right. You know, so they like, I wonder what, how you've seen, cause you're in a very rigid church structure as an Anglican priest. Like, how do you embrace that and yet continue to make it fresh and new and including people that have felt excluded? And, you know, because I think what we saw in the 80s was a lot of the emerging church movement. It didn't have much teeth. It didn't have much essence to it. And I remember someone saying all you needed to start an emerging church was a Bible, a candle, and a copy of the Matrix movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to go deeper than that. So to say a little bit, you know, about what that looks like for you.
Yeah. Well, I think there is, you know, I think it's all well and good to sort of go through the healing process and do some deconstruction. But I think there's a danger in that you kind of throw out the baby with the bathwater, and you can often lose some of the richness of a faith tradition. So I think our challenge is to step out of our boxes and take risks and to be, you know, to construct and find new ways of being faithful people and new ways that are of being followers of Jesus, but really resisting some of or all of the old ways, the old wounding and exclusive ways that have been so damaging and I'm not so interested in the church either. I mean, I'm not really. You know, I think we've got to move beyond, but bring with us what formed us. So, for example, we have all these wonderful tents at Wild Goose Festival that different denominations come. Like, we have the Episcopal tent and the Quaker tent and the Methodist tent, and they do the best of their traditions in their tent. So people can go and find their fellow Quakers or their fellow Anglicans or their fellow whatever and participate in the traditions that they belong to and are used to and the liturgies that they're used to, but they're renewed and they all take place in this safe space where people have found kindred spirits.
And that was one of the things that was really interesting that began to come out of the emerging church movement with Phyllis Tickle and other wonderful folks, was this hyphenated, you know, it was the emerging Anglican, the emerging Lutheran. And so it renewed some of those traditions without throwing everything away and acting like we're going to do Christianity like it's never been done, you know, or something like that. So,
and one of the most favorite things at the Wild Goose Festival for a lot of people is the beer and hymns session.
Whoa, I'm a Baptist. How do you have beer and hymns?
It's not like choir practice. I can tell you that. It's a very raucous sort of rugby singing time where people have a beer in their hand and they're singing, you know, really,
or a root beer,
the old hymn.
Tony will have a root beer.
I'm actually having
Katie and I went, we didn't do the beer, but we did the hymns. And
I'm having
awesome.
An upset stomach even as I listened. Yeah. Now, just before you go off the air, I do want to say that she's a Renaissance woman in the fullest sense. She's not only a priest, she's not only an organizer, actually an excellent communicator. You only got a minute. But
you can read more, too. The woman behind the collar is Joy's book. So
I don't know whether she goes into this, but she's also very involved in Little League baseball, getting kids to play baseball in the Washington area. Imagine. Yeah. She's actually a baseball commissioner. Is this not true?
And I'm just planning our eighth trip to the Dominican Republic for the local high school baseball team, where we go and do service and the kids play baseball. It's wonderful.
Well, this is an incredible thing to hear because I know your one son at Haverford College, right down the street from Eastern University, where I teach. He's a baseball player. He's playing on the varsity team, and I hope to go and see him play. So you've nurtured your kids not only to be followers of Jesus, but also good baseball players. I don't know whether Jesus would be into that, but he probably would improve of it. He certainly enjoyed people having a good time and into being joyful in their everyday lives.
I say my altar is the baseball diamond, Tony.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Well, we've been talking to Joy Carol Wallace, one of the first women ordained to the Anglican priesthood in the United Kingdom.
25 years ago.
Yeah, 25 years ago. The model for the television series on the BBC, The Vicar of Dibley, patterned after her, a mother, a baseball commissioner. She's got it all together. Thanks for being on the show with us. This is Tony Campolo and Shane Claiborne saying thanks. Go to our website, redletterchristians.org, and sign up as a Red Letter Christian. We need your support. Blessings. Have a good day.